Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Don't Kill the Messenger with your host Victor from BentoBot. And on today's episode, we're going to be diving into something that has been severely impacted. A topic really has been severely impacted by the current pandemic crisis, right? The COVID-19 pandemic, and it has one of two things done to the industry. Either it has allowed certain people to become the new leaders, and it also has turned the old leaders who didn't adapt into forgotten yesteryear people. So I have a special guest today that's really going to be talking about what's happened, how people have adapted, what's around the corner, and what's coming next after all of this kind of comes to an end, or we enter into this new world of with, you know, now that we're in it, and especially now that people are really seeing how powerful online can be and how to use it with their live events. So please welcome in my guest, Teresa Gittimer, here today. She helps people book speaking gigs across the United States. So hey, Teresa, how you doing?
Hey, Victor, it's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. We met back at an event in November of 2019.
Yes.
We had a really brief conversation. I think I was in the middle of writing some notes or something like that.
And yes.
We happened to sit there and we started a conversation. But we were at an event for speaking, and I know that's kind of what we're going to be diving into today. So, how would you explain how you help people? Because I know just booking gigs isn't necessarily just it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Sure. Thank you. I work with event professionals across the country to bring the best talent into a conference. Most of my work is done with associations, and topics can include, you know, anything from, you know, the normal ones: sales, customer service, thought leadership, diversity, those type of things. Even some corporate entertainment I have thrown in there, which is a lot of fun. But basically, that's what I do. And let me just introduce myself a little bit more. The name of my company is called Hey Red. And if you could see me, you can't right now, but I'm definitely a redhead. But the joke during this COVID was that, you know, all the salons were closed. And so it took me 4 months really to get back into my salon. And I was about ready to rename my company from Hey Red to Hey Gray, because even, you know, it didn't matter how far I backed up from that Zoom, it was getting ugly. So it was.
I feel you. I understand that for sure. Like I had to chop some hair off myself.
Did you? Well, yeah. It looks great. I don't know what, if you've been to the beauty parlor,
yep.
but you look really good. So anyway, Hey Red Speakers Agency is named my business. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. And addition to booking speakers across the country, I developed a program called Local Heroes. And what Local Heroes does is it gives local speakers more opportunities for experience and exposure. You know, we all have to start somewhere. You know, Zig Ziglar and Tony Robbins, you know, they mm-hmm. didn't just be, you know, get out there and here I am. They had to work at that.
Yeah.
Some of the speakers in my program have been speaking for 15 years, some 15 months. The only qualification is that they're willing to work and improve. And what I'm going to do is get them out there primarily to start with networking events, and then get into maybe some local chapter meetings and all that type of thing. But it's a great program. No one's doing it. So I feel very special, and allows that group, you know, a place to land, so to speak.
Gotcha.
So like that's another part of what I'm doing. That was kind of a long answer to what I was doing, but I want to throw that in there because it is very unique.
Sure. No, yeah. I actually love that because you help, just the name of it, really, you understand exactly what you're helping people do, right? You're helping it sounds like potential speakers that eventually work with you or they're working with you now become local heroes in their community to really build themselves up in that local community, so that when they do go a little bit more national, it allows them to leverage that initial community and really build on top of that. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Yes, exactly. Because one of the things, and Everyone doesn't like to do, but you need to videotape yourself every time you speak. And that's normally the biggest objection. I don't want to videotape myself, but how are you going to get better? And so when I send these people out on a local gig, it's like, that's a requirement. You have to videotape yourself. And in this day and age with iPhones and Android, it's really, you can't use that as an excuse about it's too complicated and I don't know how to
have the equipment. That's a big myth for sure. That's more of an excuse than anything else.
It absolutely is. And I'm a stickler on that. So they need to record. And you're right. It gives them that experience because, you know, a lot of times it's like, well, I want to hire someone that has experience. Well, how do you get experience if you're just starting? So it's kind of chicken and egg type of thing. So I really like it. I work with some really great people that have good topics and are really trying, and it's just a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun. I love it.
That's fantastic. Let's dive into that a little bit more. I love, like, so what is it that you're helping these clients do to become local heroes? Like, what is it, and how can someone really start to do it so that they can realize, like, very quickly, like, all right, I'm gonna need to call Teresa here and really just say, like, hey, I need your help with this.
Well, a lot of time what's happening is I'm kind of this rumor about, hey, I heard of this person named Red, because I affectionately, if you don't remember Teresa, you can call me Red. I don't take offense to that Red, at all. But they'll call me because they want to grow their business and they want to become a thought leader. And one of the best ways you can be perceived as the expert is speaking. And so it's not like every one of these people I work with is looking to get, you know, be on a keynote speaker in front of thousands of people. There are some that just want to do this to develop their business and to have that topic, that expertise, that, you know, catchy presentation title that will attract people to go to that networking event. So that's primarily where I start, because those are the easiest. Everyone has networking events and they're always looking for a speaker. So that's a way to plug them in right away. And then if the people in that networking group like them, that's like their audition. And so they're going to say, hey, you know, we had Johnny at this event. You know, he was really good. We need to have him at our chapter meeting or at our next lunch and learn. And it just kind of expands from that, but they got to get started. And what happens is you want to be a speaker and maybe you have some training or someone says, hey, you should have been a speaker. And that, so you think, oh, I should be a speaker. And what happens is you go through your family and your friends and then maybe your church or synagogue. And then it's like, okay, now what? You know, you've gone through the people that know you. And it's just, if you're not in that business, it's not easy. And for someone like myself, I'm well connected with a lot of the leaders in these networking groups. So they're reaching out to me and saying, hey, you know, Teresa, I need a speaker.
Like, who you have? Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. And it pays to know someone like you, because like you said, like those people do come to you first. You're one of the few people that they come to first. And like, hey, I need XYZ speaker for XYZ topic, or I have this XYZ audience and I need a speaker for them. Who do you have? And you're the one who's like, perfect. I have these, like, you're literally like a magician. You're pulling like rabbits out of your head. You're like, I got this person, I got this person, I got this person.
Exactly. Which,
you know, and then you really see and then work that out to see who's the best fit. And I love it. It does really pay to know someone like you.
Well, and the other thing, speakers that want to expand their business and speak more, they're kind of in that middle because an agency isn't going to take them under their wing because agencies primarily work on a commission basis. Uh-huh. So you can get stuck in that, you know, the $500 to $1,000 range. Right? And it's like, you want to speak more, but, you know, the agencies are going, well, no, you know, can't, you know, you're not garnishing enough money. And so they're kind of like in the middle where this helps them. There's no, you know, I try to get them a fee, but a lot of them are free, you know, so they're out there and it gives them an opportunity to get to that place where they can work with an agency, because they're kind of in the middle and, you know, they're trying to get their own gigs and maybe not so successfully. So yeah, that's the gap I try to fill, Victor.
So really, really helping those that are like wanting to speak, they're ready for it. They just can't find where.
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. I love it. So how has this, kind of just switching gears really quick, how has this whole, I guess, pandemic really affected this industry?
Well, it's been major.
Aside from the obvious of like no more live events, right? Like where this is like, that's kind of like the whole purpose of speaking your live in person, but.
Right, exactly. And as the quote event planner, and I book speakers to speak at events, my business is gone. I mean, it just was like, whoop, mid-March.
Oh, man.
You know, I had some speakers that, you know, March were going to be some of their biggest months. I mean, they were like ready to go. Wow, Teresa, this is going to be really good. And there's some of my speakers that lost 17 events just you know, through the end of the year. But people, you know, they either had to postpone, reschedule, or cancel. And it caught all the speakers. I mean, no one was expecting it.
Right.
And
of course.
You know, speakers have good attitudes about things, but it was devastating. It really was.
Yeah.
Some of them have said, you know, they'd never seen something like this before. Just an entire, you know, shutdown for a longer period of time.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. It's so, like, for me, it was a little bit different because, like, I do live more in the digital space, like online space. So, I was able to, like, I suggested to some of the events I was speaking on, like, why not just go virtual? And it makes it, you know, everyone can still attend. It's going to be a little bit harder to keep people's attention, but you could still have it, right? There's still value in that and gathering and whatnot. But did you see anything like that come up with some of your speakers, or were you able to work a couple of things out like that?
Oh, absolutely. They had to go virtual to do something.
Yeah.
And there's a big variety of going virtual. I mean, some have really been elaborate, you know, lights, camera, action, two cameras, they play the piano and they're, you know, it's like, whoa, this is an event. And then some are just, you know, Zoom.
Like a quick Zoom meeting, but it's like a group call. Yeah, yeah.
It is. So everyone have you been doing that yourself in your, have you been Zooming?
Yes, I've been part of quite a few Zoom events.
Yes.
I've also been part of other events that had other different software that we used to kind of like, it helped mimic more of an in-person experience where like you can exit there's different room or topics going on at the same time. So you can tune in to what you want and you can go, for example, like I was sponsoring an event and you can go to like my sponsor booth, which was like a separate virtual room where I had different things happening there, a team member going and talking about it and whatnot. So there was things like that. That was quite interesting. but then there's also events where we really utilized a lot of the cool features of Zoom, for example, like breakout rooms, right? We had small mastermind group breakout sessions and we did things like that. So that felt more of like an actual event compared to the, like the Brady Bunch Square visual that we're used to seeing, right?
I know. Well, and for someone like myself, I really hadn't used Zoom. I really hadn't had to use Zoom. So there was a learning curve for Teresa, and I don't want to say that I've mastered it yet. I still like, okay, what does this button do? Where's the grid? And oh, I lost them. And you know, how do we get the audio back? And those type of things. But it is good. I like the interaction that you can get with a chat box. And everyone putting their information as far as, you know, their name, what company they're with, if it's one of those networking events, it really serves its purpose. And that's really, you know, what you're left with, because you couldn't go out to a live networking group. So most of the speakers have set up something virtual in their home. And some are even offering like a free 15-minute talk on positive attitude. You know, they'll say, hey,
gotcha.
We'll do something like this because, hey, guess what? I mean, they're in their home, first of all, and they want to be playing with your cat or maybe, you know, doing something that could be an audition for something better later on. Because I'm telling them that, hey, these associations are going to remember you. When you start looking for someone to hire, they're going to remember that person that was generous with their time and no charge and said, hey, you know, I'll do something. It's, you know, people may need a boost. And they went ahead and you know, did something like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's fantastic. That's definitely, I've seen some pretty cool things work, some pretty cool ways of creating engagement. I've not necessarily been part of networking groups via Zoom, at least yet, but I've been part of more of like events that were scheduled to be actual in-person events that were transitioned into virtual. They were just postponed and then transitioned. So they could figure out minor details in the transition. But yeah, that sounds super interesting as far as networking events go. I'm curious to know what that looks like, but I'm more curious on your thoughts of what's next and like what's going to happen when we can go to in-person events again.
Yeah, great question. Well, right now, one of my speakers I was talking to yesterday has a live event scheduled for the first part of August, but she told me, you know, I don't know if it's gonna happen or not. So I think right now there's still kind of a wait and see.
It's kind of like these
associations, you know, they may have one really big, you know, event or a conference a year. And if that gets, you know, rescheduled, and a lot of them are, then that speaker is, you know, they're not going to have that income until next year. And a lot of them did do that. So when we come out of this, and I think that's another question, Victor, is when? We don't know. When it was to flatten the curve and, you know, we got locked in from, you know, mid-March to April, and then it kind of got into late April, and then May, and now here we are in June. So it's kind of a moving target.
Yeah.
So, you know, the question is, if we knew when we would come out of it, we could know a little bit more. Most of my speakers are looking at first quarter of 2021. There are some.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there are some that have booked some live events, but, you know, think of it this way. These associations, they don't want to have to reschedule. And even if they could hold their event, their venue may be closed. You know, the convention center is not open. The hotel is not, you know, ready. And I'm attending my first big conference the first week in August. And it's an association. And there's, you know, they have to cap it. It's no more than 200 people. But you say what it's going to look like. I can throw out some ideas as far as what it's going to need to look like. First of all, I wouldn't be surprised if you were signing waivers, you know, as you check in the hotel.
Makes sense. Yeah.
I won't sue if I get COVID. That would be the first thing. I think that both buffets and pass along hors d'oeuvres are out because they're not, you know, they're not going to want to be, you know, handling things. And because of the social distancing, those tables that seat 10, maybe 4. So they're going to have to think about the room, how they're going to accommodate these, because again, they're not going to have to be as crowded at that table.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. Those are things I didn't think about. See, I was more thinking, I'm like, man, they're good live. I mean, like, and I'm sure you were getting to this as well, but like live events in person are just going to be that much more powerful because of how long we've been away from each other, right? Physically distancing, social distancing, you know, like when we're actually going, we are going to be cautious, yes, but at the same time, it's just going to be that much more powerful to gather together, like-minded people together and really like move the needle for everyone. So at least that was how I was looking at it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I will say this, the handshake is gone.
Like the peace sign.
And I would say that's probably the hardest thing. I've been to two live events here just recently, small networking events. And Victor, that's probably the hardest thing not to do. Because think about it. I'm introduced to you.
That's how you say it. Yeah.
Nice to meet you. And the first thing you want to do is shake their hand. Yeah, and it's I have to just think in my mind, you know, don't do that. And it's really hard not to do that. And the other thing too, with the social distancing, you know, think about the adult beverage line. Are we going to have like dots on the floor?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They're lining up, and those things are inherently slow anyway. The line is long. So now if you're six, I mean, no one's going to have a tape measure, face it, you know, 6 feet, and that's going to be interesting. Also, will they be taking temperature checks when someone enters the
room? Oh, yeah.
You know, will the keynote speakers be wearing a mask before they talk? You know, who's going to be wearing a mask? Who isn't? Those are just some of the things that I think of that, you know, I don't think everyone's really figured everything out.
Yeah, there's a lot of details there.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's super interesting. Like, there's a lot of practical details that, and that's probably why I'm more of a visionary than an integrator. I have team members to take care of the details because I'll think big picture and I'll forget things like that. So that's what they help back up and really put those little tiny pieces back together for me. But that's super interesting to think about. Those are things I've never even thought of. To me, I was more thinking of how much more powerful it's going to be just in the gathering and community again, and being able to say like, we are a tribe, like together here. Which, I mean, definitely is true. At the same time, I like those practicalities of, you know, the little details of like the distancing, the masks, the temperature checks, the waivers, things like that. Those, like, it sounds like as far as an event planner goes, it's going to be that much more complicated. They're already doing so much in the background, but they're going to have that much more to do because of all this when they get back.
Right. And they make a big deal about, hey, the hotel will be safe. And of course,
right,
all of that, you know, they're sanitizing. I'm glad they're sanitizing the phone. I always thought that was something they may have missed, you know, in the housekeeping thing. I was about that phone, but you can see videos with the hotel. I mean, they're spraying everything, the elevator buttons and everything that people would touch multiple times. They have these big, like, industrial sprayers. It looks like some type of pressure wash. And they're spraying those things down. So it's just, but you're right. It is going to be, we are going to be really happy to get together. And on these two events that I went to, they were small, but it was interesting how no one was talking about how awful it was being in their home. That was, you know, you'd think that would kind of be maybe a topic. No one was talking about it. No one had, well, guess what happened to me? You know, this is the worst thing. No, I can top this. No one was really saying that. They were just happy to, you know, be out and about again, like you were saying.
That's awesome. What were they talking about? Just out of curiosity.
Well, just talking about the event, talking about what they've been doing, but not saying, hey, I was quarantined at home. They were just
interesting. Okay.
You know, just general things. I was out mowing the lawn, or, you know, a lot of neighbors had, you know, driveway events where they all took their chairs and did that. I mean, people had to be, you know, creative, but they were just kind of talking about, hey, you know, how's business? And, you know, business has been affected. But they weren't talking specifically about COVID. It was just interesting.
Interesting. So it sounds, which is, I love, and this is how I'm hearing this and how I'm understanding this, because I was saying that this whole pandemic was a blessing in disguise for the networking world, because I personally was not a fan of the transactional mentality that went into how people interacted and most networking events. It was like, hey, how are you? What do you do? And if what you do doesn't, like, if I'm not interested, I'm already looking over your shoulder before getting to know you. Mm-hmm. I personally didn't like that. And I feel like what it sounds like is people are having more real conversations that, and I'm definitely a believer of like that real conversations lead to relationships, which leads to business. Because we like to do business with people that we like. And yes. If we go off of who we like based off of what they do, then that's not a real relationship. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, one thing about the networking events is you can check out more than you could if you were driving, because I always planned on 2 hours. By the time you fix yourself up and get out the door, and then maybe it's an hour or 45 minutes and you drive back, you could really do, you know, maybe 2 or 3 a week. Well, now you can check them out on Zoom. You can be sitting in your pajamas if you want to, if you have the video off, and you can check out what they're saying and make a determination. Is this a networking group that I want to get more involved in?
That is interesting to check out, because that's true. There was so many. I remember when I started to go to networking events, I got lost in like the first 2 weeks. I went to so many events that I did not want to go into anymore. I needed a break because I just went to too many. And that was, I think, more of a not being more fresh and new to the whole local networking events. Mm-hmm. But that, I feel like most people can get lost in that. They just go to event after event after event, and it's hard to find the right ones. But this, I love that. It makes it easier to check out to see which ones are right for you.
You can do, depending on your schedule, you can do a couple a day. And yeah. You know, you can see who's there, if they're putting their name and their business in the chat box. You can go, wow, this is really good. Or no, I don't want to go to Mac and that one again. You know, there was only 2 people that showed up. I don't like either one of them. You can really get a gauge, and you can, I thought, well, this is cool. I can check them out without that 2.5-3 hour trip, only to find out that, man, I don't want to be involved in this group. So you can do, as a plus, you can check out more networking events and decide which ones you want to be a member of or join. So, go ahead.
No, I said, I love it. Cause I mean, everything that you were saying, like definitely Zoom is making it, a lot easier to really interact and check out the local networking events that will work for you. Cause there's a lot of them popping up consistently. And I feel like even more have popped up since it went digital, and just because it's easier to create one now. And that in itself has its value of being able to check the ones that you like out so you can connect with the right people. On top of that, really diving into this and embracing this digital space where we're able to even craft our own events or use different features, like I mentioned earlier, like breakout rooms to create an even better experience for the virtual event.
Yes, I agree. I've been like the networking queen a little bit, because you're so right. There are so many events, you know, go on Meetup and pick your business, and it's, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, there's like 10 a day and they're all like, this could be interesting. So I reiterate again, it's gives you a chance. It really saves you time, and you can check out the ones. And when we get out of this, and we will, I'm very positive about, you know, right now, as I mentioned earlier, we really don't know, but I'm a positive person, and I know we will get out of this. Oh, I have to tell you this on a funny note. Okay. Everyone's supposed to wear a mask, right? Okay. Well, Teresa has these old masks that she got from, you know, Home Depot years ago. They're probably like 99 cents. I mean, they're probably every germ in the world is going to get through them. But that's the only thing I had. Okay, so I opened the package, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, okay, which way does this go? Do the metal things go? And I thought, no, I think that's on the chin. Oh, Victor, I went around Costco. I'm sure people were laughing at me. I had it on the upside down. I had the metal things on my chin. And I finally went into a grocery store, and I was talking to the pharmacist, and I said, you know, these things, you know, really don't fit that well. And she was like, ma'am, you have it on upside down. So I learned something. There's something. I'd never worn a mask, and now I'm a mask expert. So
Awesome. Yeah, no, fantastic. So and any final parting words for the listeners here that as far as like what to expect with speaking or how to really maximize it as we either go back or right now? Because I know we're definitely one of the gold nuggets now is check them all out with Zoom so that when they come back, you can really look at which ones you want to actually go to in person.
Yes, a good point. And as I said earlier, it will come back. Most of the speakers are looking after the first of the year. There are some events sprinkled here and there, but it's going to be the next, you know, first part of next year that where they're really going to come back. And I say that like I'm an expert in it. I don't know. You know, I don't know either. That's just what I'm hearing from the speakers that I work with. But yeah. Bottom line, we don't absolutely know. So I think that in the speaking world, we can expect really great things when they come back because they've had all this time to practice at home. So it's going to be even better. But, you know, it's going to come back and it's going to be even better than it was.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It's going to be that much more powerful. But I love that little insight of being able to check out the events now, right? Digitally, virtually, go check them out. See if they're the types of people that you want to interact with. And then when they come back, like go to those, right? Show up. You already developed some kind of interaction with those people. Show up now and be there in person. I love it.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much today for coming onto the show and really kind of diving into, first off, like that local hero piece of really how to start setting that foundation so that you can grow and build on, leverage it as you grow nationally if you want to. And yes. Then really being able to maximize on the use of all of the virtual events now. That is actually a fantastic little piece of insight there for everyone listening to check out and see, to speak more even, right? Great. So that's a great way to be known more and start to be, even going back to that first thing, start to become that local hero. So thank you so much for all of that. And I do appreciate you coming on the show.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Victor, for having me.
Of course, of course. Well, thank you so much, Teresa. And for everyone listening, until next time, I'm Victor with VentoBots, and this is the Don't Kill the Messenger podcast. Now, if you're serious about generating never-ending leads, then head on over to ventobots.com/book to get your free copy of the complete automation strategy, the four phases we use to generate never-ending leads for our clients. And this is a free copy of the book that we send over to you, just cover shipping and we'll send it right over. That way you can start to use that process yourself to attract, engage, elevate, and convert those leads so that you can scale your business at will. And until next time, I'm Victor with VentoBots, and I will see you on another episode. Bye.